Bibles tonight, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to begin at verse 11. It is good to see everyone here tonight. Of course, I want to encourage you. I think most of you know to be praying for Sister Marita. Still waiting on some test results. I think she's doing a little better right now, but keep her in your prayers. And we'll take more prayer requests later. Hebrews chapter 5, if you're able, let's stand together. Tonight we're going to begin a new series of lessons about growing up. I think, unfortunately, spiritually, a lot of us are like we were physically growing up. I was a Toys R Us kid. I don't want to grow up. There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. And I think a lot of us growing up, we didn't want to grow up. We wanted to stay kids forever. I think that has permeated our society. And unfortunately, I think it's a reality in our spiritual development as well. But God has called us to grow up in Him. And so we want to learn about that over the next several weeks. Hebrews 5:11 says, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace, Lord, we are so thankful for the rain. We're thankful for the blessings of cooler weather and your provision for us in everything, Lord. We know every good and perfect gift comes down from you, our Father of lights. Lord, we know you are unchanging, and we just thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, your long-suffering. And Lord, we come tonight seeking that you would forgive our sins, where we have wickedly done against you, Lord, where we failed to be faithful to you. Lord, we pray tonight for those that are hurting, those that are sick, those who have lost loved ones, who comfort their hearts. We come, Lord, asking that you'll be with those who are not saved. Lord, that you'll help us to reach them with the gospel, that they'll hear and believe and repent of their sin and call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Lord, that you'll help all of us to grow in your grace and knowledge. Lord, help us to rightly divide the word of truth tonight. Give us an understanding heart and spirit, ears that are ready to hear. Father, please convict our hearts where we have been immature spiritually, where we have failed to hear and to grow. Lord, change us. Help us to grow. And Lord, we pray that you'll help in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Tonight, as we just kind of introduce this new series, I think most of you are familiar, at least you've heard this passage before, those who have need of milk and not of strong meat. But tonight, we want to hear the challenge from the Word of God to move from the milk to the meat. In verse 11, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered." Does anybody have any idea who he's speaking about in verse 11? Who is the whom that he's talking about? Anybody got a guess? Yeah, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus. If you back up to verse 5, he says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee." God the Father placed Jesus in that place as the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Verse 6 says, "And as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." And we don't have the time tonight to dive into all that that means. I remember doing a Bible study with a bunch of pastors one time, and Brother Crawford was there. And I remember him teaching through this and helping me understand this, and it's a great study. But here, the author of Hebrews is writing to these Jewish believers who some of them are on the verge of being apostates. In other words, they've been around the gospel, they've heard the gospel, they've been influenced by the Spirit of God. They've tasted of some things, but they haven't partaken. They're around a lot of gospel things, but they haven't gone all the way to faith in Christ. And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, don't go back to Judaism. Don't go back to the Old Testament way. There's nothing to go back to. If Jesus isn't enough, then there's no hope for you. If Christ, if God himself, the Son of God, dying for your sins and rising again isn't enough to save you, then you can't be saved. And that's the message that he's giving. And he says, I got a lot more things I want to tell you about Jesus. How he's not only better than the angels because he created them, and he's better than Moses because he's the one who gave the law. He is the law. He is the truth. He's better than everything that you can imagine. And he says, I got a lot more things I want to tell you, but look what he says. They're hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. In other words, there's a lot more I'd like to tell you about Jesus. There's a lot more I'd like you to learn about Jesus. There's a lot more you could know about Jesus, but it's hard for me to tell you about it because you won't listen. Amen. Anybody ever talk to somebody who wasn't really listening? Amen. You ought to try preaching sometime. Have you ever looked at one of your children and said, are you listening to me? Have you ever done that? Because, I mean, it's no offense, parents, but it's really a dumb question. You already know the answer to the question. You know they're not listening. And I won't even get to any of the wives looking at their husbands and saying, are you listening? Or did you hear what I said? My mom broke me when I was little. She made me look in her eyes when she talked to me. And now if I'm not looking at you, I can't hear you. There's a direct connection between my eyes and my ears, and if I'm not looking at you, I can't hear you. It's my mama's fault. Amen? Nobody? Okay. He says, I've got a lot more things I want to tell you. They're hard to say. They're hard to be uttered. That means to lay out, to lay forth. It's hard for me to. And that idea of uttering them has the idea of setting them in order. I want to lay these things out for you. To put in order, to set in order the things of Christ, but I can't do it. It's hard for me to do because you won't listen. That word dull means sluggish. It means they're slow to hear. It's only used another place in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Hebrews 6, 11 says, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so this word that's describing the hearing being dull is the same word that's used to describe being slothful. You guys all know what slothful is, don't you? Everybody know what a sloth is? Okay. Some of the kids have seen a cartoon with a guy named Flash in it. Flash, 100-yard dash, nobody? At least some of the kids and parents got that one. Sloths move super slow. The parts of that movie with Flash in it are so hard for me to watch. Like, it kills me inside. If you've ever seen video of a real sloth in a tree, they move incredibly slow. This is where we get the idea. That's how they got their name, from this word, being slothful, being a sluggard, being dull, being slow. And listen, the writer of Hebrews is saying to these people, there are people out there who ought to be teachers, but they can't because they have to go back and get the milk again and again and again because they're slothful in their hearing. They're dull in their hearing. They won't listen to learn more about Jesus. And listen, get the whole premise here. If you would listen and learn about Jesus, then you would be getting strong meat. The more you leave behind Judaism, the more you leave behind the Old Testament sacraments and ceremonies and ways of worship, the more you leave behind the pictures and shadows and types for the true, that's strong meat. Amen. Knowing Him is growing up. Maturity is found in Christ. And so that's what he's saying, listen. Listen. It's not a new thing for people to not listen. But Jesus said it over and over, did he not? Let him that has ears to hear, let him hear. And in other words, Jesus would preach to a multitude. He would preach to a crowd. He would preach in a synagogue, maybe even talking to the 12. And he would say, if you've got ears to hear, then hear, listen. Knowing that there were some in the crowd that didn't have ears to hear, knowing there were some in the crowd that were dull of hearing, they were slothful, they were too lazy to pay attention to the Word of God. And God help us that we would not be lazy when it comes to knowing Him. And we would put effort into it. I'm amazed at the things that perk up our hearing. I left the house this morning. I saw 10 deer just right down the road from the house. I can tell you how many does there were, how many bucks there were. I can tell you about how big the bucks racks were. And there are some men in the room that as soon as I said the word deer, they woke up. It's the way some people are. I mean, they can fall asleep about anything. You start talking about deer and they wake up. Some people, it's other things. I won't pick on anybody. It could be race cars. Could be guns. Ladies, could be shoes. Brother Dean, could be shoes. I used to have friends in this church. No, there are things that we're interested in. There's a video game, a game the kids have been playing on their phones, and a bunch of your kids have been playing all together. And if I started talking about that game, they would all perk up. They would all pay attention. You see, there's things that we want to hear about that we're excited about. And it's sad. It's sad that some of us are so dull of hearing when it comes to Christ. Amen. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. When you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. Look at what he says, and are become as such as need of milk, have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, there was a time that you were growing. There was a time that you had moved on past the basics, the fundamentals, but now somebody's going to teach you those things again. You've gone back instead of moving forward. Instead of maturing, you have become less mature. I don't know if any of you believe that's possible, but I think immaturity is something that at least men suffer from. You get a group of grown men together, and if you get the right group of grown men together in a certain situation, and they can become very immature very quickly. Amen. All the guys that said amen come to Bible study on Monday nights. No, we can have a good time, we can have fun, but listen, we ought to be growing in Christ. Amen. Now, I do want to take the time to let you know that much like every other passage you can find in the Bible, there's varying opinions. Some people believe that here at the end of chapter 5 and leading into chapter 6, it's not speaking to saved people. It's speaking to those who are on the verge of being apostates, that they're being warned against being apostates. It's my conviction, and you study this out for yourself, that he's speaking to saved people and he's telling them to grow up. And I'll tell you why. If you look at it, he says, ye are dull of hearing, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need. And he's speaking to those who he's writing to. If you go to chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. So he's talking about us and we, and then notice what happens in verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Look at verse 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So it's my conviction that if you look at this from verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 is speaking of those who do not know Christ. There's your warning of apostasy, of turning away and not coming to full faith in Christ. And before verse 4 and after verse 8, when you get back to verse 9, he's speaking to those who are saved. And so it's my conviction that the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6 is speaking to saved people who are born again, who have trusted in Christ, but they're not growing up. Now, I want to rewind real quick and go back to chapter 5, verse 12. And he says that when you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. Now, growing up in church, like a lot of you did, when I think of somebody teaching, all I can think about is Sunday school teachers. I remember Sister Wanda Bennett being my Sunday school teacher when I was a little boy. I remember having the flannel graphs in the classroom. And when I think about teachers, I think about different ones who taught me through school and through high school. And when I got into college, I think about teaching in church. I think about a Sunday school class teaching. But I want you to understand something. Sunday school, the way you understand it, did not exist when this was written. Sunday school is brand new in the history of the church, really, in the last couple hundred years. Sunday schools weren't something that existed in Bible times. And so when it's talking about teachers, it's not talking about getting the kids together around in their little chairs with the flannel graph. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about everyone who knows Jesus and learns about Jesus telling other people about Jesus. Amen. All of us should be teaching what we know of Christ to other people. You know, we've been talking for weeks and weeks about being disciples who make disciples, go and make disciples. That's what he's talking about. It ought to be that when you go to school, because you've been learning about Jesus, you can tell your friends at school about Jesus. It ought to be that when you go to work, when you're on your lunch break, you can sit down with somebody on your lunch break and you can tell them about Jesus and what you've learned about Christ, not just at church on Sunday, but what you studied in His Word that day. You guys with me? It ought to be that when you get on the phone with somebody in your family and you're talking and getting caught up, that in the middle of the conversation, you can teach them, you can pass on to them the things that you've learned about Christ because you're growing up in Jesus. Amen. Don't get it in your head that this idea of you ought to be able to teach means I ought to be able to teach a Sunday school class, although that's probably true. What he's talking about here is all of us teaching other people what we learn about Jesus. I don't guess I've ever stood up here and said something that I didn't learn from somebody else almost. I mean, there's things that I found searching the scriptures and praying and studying, and God showed me some things in His Word, that's true, but the reality is most of the things that I've learned from other people. I learned that I was taught when I grew up, and I take what I was taught and I pass it on to you, and you're supposed to take what you learn and pass it on to others. And whether you learn it in a sermon or a Sunday school class or a Wednesday night class or a Bible study, or you learn it in your own personal study at home or listening to a sermon or a podcast where you're driving on the road, whatever it is, when you learn from God, you're supposed to pass on. Amen. We ought to be able to teach. We ought to be able to teach because we've got to move on. We've got to move on. He says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And we're not supposed to be babies. Listen, if you're a babe, if a baby doesn't develop, if a baby doesn't grow, we understand that there's something wrong. Right? I mean, when our kids are born, the baby's born, they do all kinds of experiments on your baby when they're born. If you know that, they take them over there to the machines and all this stuff, and they poke them and take their blood and suck stuff out of their nose and throat and put stuff in their eyes. And everybody with me? Everybody been there? They do all this stuff to your kid, and when you're a brand new dad, you're like, what are you doing to my baby? They start sticking them with needles, and I almost punched a lady in the face one time, but that's a story from another time. But listen, that one of the things they do is they weigh your baby and they check how much they weigh. And we understand after the baby's born, they'll lose a little bit at the beginning. They'll lose a little bit of weight, but then they should start gaining weight. They should start growing. They should start developing. Everybody with me? If you go back to the doctor after 6 weeks and the baby isn't growing, then they think something's wrong with the baby. And you go back in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year, and every year your kids get a wellness check and they want to see how are they growing and they want to see what percentile they're in because they want to make sure they're developing the way that they should. Amen. Well, listen, we don't have charts like that at church spiritually. We don't have a spiritual scale we can sit you on and see how much you've gained weight spiritually. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. You know, they don't stick you up to the wall and make sure your heels are back and your head straight to see how tall you've gotten. We don't have that spiritually, but I'm just telling you that we ought to be growing, and if we're not growing, then something is wrong. I know I think weird, but you guys are used to it by now. We could tell about how old somebody is by looking at them, generally speaking, right? I mean, most of you see a little baby crawling around just pulling up. You can guess about how old that kid is. You see the one that's just kind of toddling around. You can tell as they grow, as they develop, you can kind of guess about how old they are. I love it when I meet kids at church camp that think I'm in my 20s. I love those kids. It doesn't happen as often as it used to, Mike, but wouldn't it be cool? Or maybe terrifying. If we had some way to look at people, maybe some kind of special x-ray glass where we could look at people and see where they're at spiritually. Like if I had some kind of special glass I could put them on, I could look at Mike and see about how old he is spiritually. You could put your glasses on and look at me and just see, am I a toddler? Am I a baby? Am I still got a bottle? Wouldn't it be interesting to be able to see and know where people were at spiritually? I don't know if it'd be interesting or not, but it's a terrifying thought to me. Because I wonder how many of us would still be kicked back with a bottle in between our feet. We ought to grow up. Everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. What does that mean? It means he's not using the word of righteousness. He's not exercising himself. In other words, he's a forgetful hearer. Look at verse 14, Hebrews 5:14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let me tell you about the one who's ready for strong meat, the one who's ready for solid food. First of all, they're of full age. This is the word teleos. It means complete. This is a different derivative of the same word Jesus used on the cross when he said, "It is finished." It's complete. It's full. It's done. It's paid in full. And this is a derivative of that word. It's the idea of that word with your age. It has the idea of being complete in your work. It has the idea of being complete in your growth. It has the idea of being complete in your character. And he says those that are of full age, they're the ones who have exercised themselves by reason of use. They're full age because of the use of the word, by reason of use. That word use is the Greek word hexis. It's the word habit or practice. They're full age, those who by reason of use, those who have made living out the word of righteousness their habit. It's their practice. It's what they do. In other words, you hear the word of God, you understand the word of God, and you obey the word of God. You read the word and you keep the word. You're doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have read something in the Bible or heard something from the Bible and you got convicted and thought, I should do that? Need to do that. Anybody ever felt that way? Has anybody ever felt that way and then not done it? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about when we hear it and we know what we're supposed to do and we don't do it. Or when we hear in the Word of God something we shouldn't be doing and we do it anyway. That's immaturity. Spiritually, that's immature. And so what we want to do is take full responsibility. We want to grow in our maturity so that when we hear what we should do, when we see what we should do, then we obey it by the Spirit of God, by the power of God. Now, we're not going to be able to do this in our own strength. We have to depend on His grace and His Spirit. But these are a full age. They've become complete in their growth and character by reason of use. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Their senses, their perception, their judgment is right because they have exercised themselves. They've trained themselves to know the difference between what's right and wrong. This word exercised is a neat word. It's where we get our word gymnasium from. To train yourself, to exercise yourself. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. 1 Timothy 4, 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, all of us know that bodily exercise profits for a little while, right? You can work out every day, all day, for the rest of your life, and it'll help you out some. May make you healthier, maybe even add some days to your life. But eventually, you're going to die. We all have an appointment with death. So bodily exercise is good, and it profits. Literally, it means for a little while, for a little time. But godliness is profitable unto all things. So what do? We exercise ourselves to godliness. We train ourselves to godliness. Have you ever noticed that the more you do something, the easier it is to do? The more you do something, the easier it is to do. Last year, Brother Daryl and I were going to have a push-up contest from one church camp to the next. I figured out at the first church camp that I didn't want to be a part of that contest. But I learned something in trying to prepare for that contest because I've got a problem with my ego, and I don't like to lose. Anybody else have that problem? All right, just checking. My son, Josiah, has a problem with not wanting to lose. But I found something out, Daryl. The more I did push-ups, the easier it got to do them. Isn't that crazy? And it doesn't matter what it is you try. When you first start out, it's very difficult. But the more you do it, the easier it is. Did you know the same thing's true in spiritual exercise? You know, when you're just starting out and you're trying to start reading your Bible every day, that can become very difficult. It'd be really hard to be in the habit of reading your Bible every day. But remember, one of the words we read, it actually literally means habit. So the more you do that, the more you learn to read your Bible every day, the easier it gets. As a matter of fact, it just becomes a part of who you are, and you can't hardly not do it. And I'm just telling you, we've got to start exercising ourselves to godliness if we're going to grow. You see, this idea of maturity, of moving on from the milk to the meat, is about exercising. It's about practice. It's about what we do. It's what we do. We want to be exercised to the things of God. We can also be exercised in the wrong way. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Peter 2, 12. Says, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of their unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Just like you and I, we can exercise ourselves to godliness. We can exercise ourselves to the things of God. We can exercise ourselves to discern both good and evil. We can also exercise ourselves in wickedness. These had exercised themselves with hearts of covetous practices. We, if we're going to grow, have got to strive to grow in the Spirit, because the natural man doesn't like the things of God. There's a war in your members. There's a war in your members where your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. The Spirit wants to follow the will of God. And that war is going on every day. And we've got to make sure we're feeding the Spirit so that we can be obedient to Christ. Chapter 6, verse 1, very quickly. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of doctrine of baptisms. That's actually washings. It's only used four times, and it's the other three times it's translated washings. It's not talking about water baptism. Washing, this is ritual cleansing of like washing cups and plates from the Old Testament. Of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Those things that he mentions here in verse 1 and 2 have to do with the Old Testament practices, the Old Testament ceremonies, the things that pictured Christ. And what he's saying is, we don't need to keep going back to those things. We need to be moving on. We need to be moving on. Move on from the Old Testament doctrines. Move on from old forms of worship. Move on from the ceremonies of the law. Move on from the shadows and types and pictures. Move on to the one true. Move on to perfection. Move on to completeness, which is only found in Christ. And he's saying, I want to tell you more about Jesus, but you won't listen. So you got to go back. And when you should be teaching others about Christ, you have to get these foundations laid over and over again. But we can grow up. We can, and it's certainly the desire of God that we would grow. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. We'll close with this passage. Colossians 3, 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, that completeness that we're talking about. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And what's the key to this growing up? We say, well, it's being in the Word and living out the Word. Yes, but what's at the heart of all that? It's love. Amen. Above all these things, put on charity. That's godly love, which is the bond of perfectness. And if I love him, then I'm going to love his Word. And if I love his Word, I'm going to study his Word. I'm going to listen to his Word. I'm going to take in his Word. And I'm going to live out his Word. And it's all going to be rooted in love. And then I rejoice in him, and I'm singing his praises, and I'm teaching and admonishing others because of the love that he shed abroad in my heart. And then I can do everything I do, everything I say, everything I do in the name of the Lord Jesus with thanksgiving. But it all comes back to love, loving him, loving his word, and then by love, living it out. Tonight, we are going to have a verse of invitation. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and while they're making their way, will you stand with me? As we introduce this new study and just get started tonight, I want to ask you to pray with me for this, that we would have a desire to grow up. Listen, none of us, like you can see the little picture. Listen, if you've not been saved very long, it's okay to be a babe in Christ. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby, there are some of you that's where you ought to be. You're babes in Christ. You haven't been saved very long, and that's okay to be right there. But all of us are somewhere along the growth chart. Some of us are all there somewhere along the way. But wherever we are in growing, we should have a desire to grow more. Because the goal is not just to be more mature than I was last year, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago. The goal is to be like Jesus. Amen. Being conformed to Christ, that's the goal. And so all of us ought to have a desire. I want to know him, and I want to make him known. So tonight, as we have this verse of invitation, I would just ask you to pray with me that God would give us a desire to grow, that he would give us a desire to grow, and that we will grow continually to be more like Christ until we see him face to face.